Okay, good evening, everybody. Today we're up to Siman Shin Mem Hei Si'if Ches. So, Bezram, tonight we'll learn Si'ifim Ches, Tes, and Yud. So, last night we learned about what is a Rosh Hasharam. So, today's page is Kuf Tzadi Zayin and Beis, page 394. We're up to the last word on Kuf Tzadi Zayin and Aleph, Si'if Ches. Mavoos Aharuchavim Tes Ayinama, Muskatsu Miksasim Emen Tes Ayinama. If you have an alleyway that is 16 amos wide, but then it narrows in part of it, then becomes less than 16 amos wide. Yeshomrim shem arkon li orach rishus harabim harehim rishus harabim. There are those that say that if lengthwise it runs right from a rishus harabim, that it becomes like a rishus harabim, meaning even though it narrows to less than 16 amos, and the definition of a rishus harabim is something that is 16 amos, but since you go straight from the rishus harabim directly into it, when you go lengthwise across the rishus harabim, you go right into this mavoi, that becomes a rishus harabim in its own right. Says the Mishnah Berurah, that there's a bit of a typo in the Shulchan Aruch over here. B'ktsasan, to'us sofer. It's a typo. V'tzarech lomar, b'ktsasan, oh, she'ein behen tes ayinama v'arkon li'aruch rishas harabim. Yesh omrim she'em rishas harabim. That what the Shulchan Aruch is actually giving you is two different cases where something that is less than 16 amos can be a rishas harabim. Uber advar mu, what he means is, d'mitchil ha'kasav l'inimav v'shem eskasav b'ngsaso v'achar kachosif od. That first he talks about like an hourglass shape, that it's an area that's 16 amos wide, it narrows and then widens again, right, to 16 amos. So even in the hourglass, even in that narrow area, it's also considered a rishus rabim. Dafilu ein b'kol meshach amavi tesayinam b'kol makom kivin charkal orach rishus rabim mufluch shel rabim bokim bo harei ukichelik mimenu. Since the rabim passed right through it, and that's and it's connected to the rishus rabim on both sides, so that's a rishus rabim. Vayin beralach umidlo per shemachab b'shiura mashma dafilu mavi katzer harbe vein machzik afilu yugimalama kam kein av rishus rabim ledeazu. And from the fact that he doesn't say how wide it has to be, it sounds like I'm sorry, did I skip? I think I may have skipped some words over there. He says at first he writes in Mavisham Miskasim Miksasso, and then he adds a second case that Afilu Vachkarchos of Oda Afilum Ein Bekal Meshach Mavoi Tesayinama. That even if the Mavoi never gets to Tesayinama, but it's Orko La Orich Rishas Harabim Mufulish Lo Vrabim Bokem Bo Hareu Kichelik Mimenu. That even if it's not an hourglass shaped type of thing, you have Rishas Rabim that goes at 16 amos wide, and on one side, the Rosh Hashanah leads right into this narrower alleyway, but the wall of the side of the Rosh Hashanah is a straight line into this narrow alleyway. So it just narrows on one side and continues into this alleyway. So that alleyway is still considered to be a Rosh Hashanah, and sounds like even if it's narrower than 13 amos, that it's considered a Rosh Hashanah according to this opinion. Okay, Si'if Tes. Mavos haruchavim yud gimel amos u'shlish u'shnei rishayim mufloshim l'Rosh Hashanah. This sif tells us that if you have an alleyway that's 13 and a third amos wide, which is not the dimensions needed for Rosh Hashanah, but both ends of the alleyway empty into Rosh Hashanah, open up into Rosh Hashanah, that also has the status of Rosh Hashanah according to this opinion. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Yud Gam L'Amos U'Shlish, Sfir L'Dibshir Zay Gam Kei Nichot HaShmish L'Rabim Ktsas, that there is something to 13 and a third amos, that it may not be as usable a place for the rabbim, but it's still somewhat of a usable place for the rabbim. And it's at least enough that it will that this place will be considered a Rosh Hashanah if it opens up on both sides into Rosh Hashanah. See, Yesh Om Shu Rosh Hashanah, the Kevin to Rosh Hashanah Gemuri Yesh B'Shnei Rosh Hashanah, that since on both ends it has a Rosh Hashanah that it opens up into, Ubokin Bar Rabbim Mahalchim Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah Derech Mavui, and people go from the one Rosh Hashanah to the other through this Mavui, Nimtzav Davitash Mish Rabbim Gambazu Amavui V'Chashim Rosh Hashanah Matzma. So the Rabbim uses this Mavui to pass from one place to the other. That which we're going to say in Siman Shin Samach Dalid, that an alleyway that opens up into Rosh Hashanah on both sides is not a Rosh Hashanah, that's if it's less than 13 amos. Or maybe it only empties out into the width of the Rosh Hashanah, not the length of the Rosh Hashanah, where the Rabbim don't walk through it. To tzorch la'akim darko, where a person would have to really go in a convoluted path in order to get from the Rosh Hashanah to this mavui. The kan ma'rik she'mavui holich la'orech Rosh Hashanah. But over here we're talking about where the mavui runs along the length of the Rosh Hashanah, v'holch in derech mavui zoi la'hadil Rosh Hashanah ma'acher she'kenegdo, and therefore it naturally empties from one Rosh Hashanah into this mavui directly into the other Rosh Hashanah. So whenever you're going from one Rosh Hashanah to the other, you naturally walk right through. V'chein yeshem Rosh Hashanah gamel mavui, and that's what gives this mavui the status of a Rosh Hashanah. So in Sivim Ches and Tes, we've given three examples of something that's not quite 16 amos wide, and yet will still have the status of Rosh Hashanah. We have the hourglass, right, where in the middle it's not 16 amos wide. We have the mavui that the Rosh Hashanah leads la'orcha right into the mavui, and then in Siftes we have the mavui that's 13 and a third amos wide that opens on both ends into a Rosh Hashanah lengthwise. Sif Yud called over Shehu. Now we're going to talk about things that are in a Rosh Hashanah. So depending on their height, they may become their own Rosh Hashanah, or they may just be part of Rosh Hashanah. So called over shehu bir Rosh Hashanah, something that's sitting on the ground in Rosh Hashanah. If it's less than three tefachim off the ground, even if it's something that would be painful or disgusting to step on, so no one would ever step on it, like a dog relieved himself or something. That's just an extension of the ground. That's still a Rosh Hashanah. But if it's something that's three tefachim off of the ground, anywhere between 3 and 9 tefachim off of the ground, so now it depends. How wide is it? If it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide, so then it becomes a karmelis. If it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim wide, then it's a makom ptur. So let's say a fire hydrant is less than 9 tefachim off of the ground, and it is less than 4 by 4 tefachim in length and width, so that is a makom patur. So if you are carrying something in a place that doesn't have an eruv, that's the recommendation, is you put it on a fire hydrant, because the fire hydrant is a makom patur. Vimu gavoa tisha tefachim. Now, if it's 9 tefachim high, mitzumtzamim, exactly 9 tefachim high, v'rabim mekatvim alav, and a lot of people will rest their bags, their packages, their backpacks on it, then it's a Rosh Hashanah even if it's not 4 tefachim wide, because it's used by the Rabbim. And some say that even if it's a slightly more than 9 tefachim high, somewhere between 9 and 10 tefachim high, that would also that would still qualify as a Rosh Hashanah. But once you get to 10 tefachim high or more, so if it's 4 by 4 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, we already know that's the definition of Rosh Hashanah. That's one of the definitions of Rosh Hashanah. But if it's not 4 by 4 tefachim wide, but it's more than 10 tefachim high, havi makom ptur afilu yesh b'makom kedei lachuk lashlim al arba'a, then it's a makom ptur even if you could somehow hollow out the area and make it like 4 tefachim wide. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Ches afilu em kotzim. We said something that's even painful to step on, like thorns, or you would never step on like tzoa, but that's less than 3 tefachim to the ground, is considered part of the Rosh Hashanah. The kolpach anything within 3 tefachim of the ground is just bottled to the floor. But if it's somewhere between 3 and 9 tefachim, so it's too high for people to just step on, so it's no longer part of the Rosh Hashanah. But it's also not Rosh Hashanah because it's not 10 tefachim high. Shame karmelis. So the Chacham gave this area a name, Carmelis. Vasalotzi menel Rosh Hashanah ul Rosh Hashanah. And Carmelis is a place that you're not allowed to be motzi from it to Rosh Hashanah, nor from it to Rosh Hashanah, as the chumras of both. V'meinu rachav arba al arba. But if it's between 3 and 9 tefachim high, and it's less than 4 by 4 tefachim in length and width, afilu marka yosem arba tefachim lo mitzarfinu lo l'rachba. Even if it's, let's say, 6 tefachim long and 3 tefachim wide, no good. That's considered less than 4 by 4. So lo nechsheves Rosh Hashanah. It's not considered its own Rishos Elim Ken Yeshmar Batvach Baruch Varba Baruchav. It's got to be 4x4 for it to be a Karbalis. So Tisha Tvachim, so, and if it's less than 4x4, it's a Makom Tor. If it's Tisha Tvachim, we said, if it's 9 Tvachim off the ground, Dibshir Zed, Derek Meyadim Rishos Ram, the Katifel of Dena Logavov, Lo Namuch, that's just the right height for people to rest on when they're walking through the Rabbim, of Pachos Mitisha, less than 9, Shein Roy, the Katifel of, where no one would rest anything on it, Lo Mahani, Lashavi Rishos Ram, Afilim Rabbim, Katifel of, then even if people do use it, we don't assume that it would naturally lend itself to the use of the rabbim, and therefore it does not become a rishus rabbim. It's got to be dafka 9 tfachim tall, mitzum tzamim, exactly 9 tfachim. But if it's more than 9 tfachim tall, then it is not a rishus rabbim. It goes back to being a karmelis. V'rabim mekatfin alav, aval kshein mekatfin alav. If the rabbim doesn't use it, aval gav derawi lekatif alav, lavi rishus rabbim afilu rachav arba. It will not be rishus rabbim. Meaning, essentially, what he's saying is, in order for the 9 tefach high thing to be a rishus rabbim, it has to be something that is ra'oi for people to be mekatev alav, and people are actually mekatev alav. Any one of those without the other is not enough. So if it's lower than 9 tefachim, it's even if people are actually mekatev alav, but it's not something that's ra'oi to be used for that purpose, or if it's 9 tefachim but no one's actually mekatev alav, then it is not a rishus rabbim. Afilu eino rachav arba'a. Now this 9 tefach high thing becomes a rishus rabbim even if it's not 4x4 tefachim. The afgav to be al malavi makum chashim pachs mi arba'a. Kan de derech rabbim lekatev alav. Even though normally the minimum standard of a makom is a place that's 4x4 tvachim, over here, since the rabbim are using it, it becomes a makom. And some say that even if it's more than 9 tfachim, who das atur? This really does mean b'gemara amutishu barak lafuke pachs mitisha lav rishus ram al yos mitisha enochinami dav rishus ram k'sham mekatfin lav. This is the opinion of the tour that it doesn't have to be exactly 9. That anywhere between 9 and 10 is good enough to still be a rishus rabbim. Once it hits 10, then it becomes a rishus hayachid. Havi rishus rabbim muldina naktinu kisvar rishus. We pass like the first opinion. It's got to be exactly 9. Once it's more than 9, it's no longer a rishus rabbim. Anywhere between 9 and 10, it would go back to being a karmelis. Imu rochav arba'a, haynu arba'a al arba'a. Whenever we say it's 4 tefachim, means 4x4. Kedei lachuk. And we said that even if it has an area that you could hollow out, haynu gon shayam tzamach l'kosel mamish. Let's say this post is right next to an actual wall. Afilu achi lo amin chokikin lahashlim. We do not envision it as if that wall was hollowed out to produce a single surface with the top of this post, and since we do not envision it that way, it's a makom patur, and a makom patur you're allowed to carry from it to rishus yachal and to rishus ram. A karmelis has the chumras of both, a makom patur is the kulas of both. So to review what we learned tonight, in Sifim Ches and Tes, we learned 3 examples of an area that's less than 16 amos and yet still has a din of rishus ram. Example number 1 was the hourglass. It started at 16 amos, narrows and then widens again to 16 amos. So even in the narrow area, it's a rishus rabbim. Example number 2 is that the rishus rabbim is 16 amos wide, and then it leads into a street where on one side of the rishus rabbim you just go straight. It straight leads into a street, but the street is narrower than 16 amos. That street is also rishus rabbim. And example number 3 is you have a mavoi that's at least 13 amos wide that on both ends leads into rishus rabbim. So it's natural for people to pass through that mavoi from one rishus rabbim to the other, that even that mavu would be rishus rabbim. And then in Sif Yud we said that anything that's in a rishus rabbim less than 3 tefachim from the ground is just part of the rishus rabbim. Between 3 and 9 tefachim from the ground, if it's 4x4 tefachim, it's a karmelis. If it's less than 4x4 tefachim, it's a makom patur. At exactly 9 tefachim, it becomes a rishus rabbim again, provided that people use it. Between 9 and 10, it's a machlokas whether it's a rishus rabbim or a karmelis. And once it hits 10 tefachim, so if it's 4x4 tefachim wide, it's a rishus yachid. If it's less than 4x4 tefachim wide, it is a makom petur. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, from a remote location, that's the plan for now at least, weather depending, if I fly tomorrow, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel. That is the plan. Okay. Everyone have a wonderful evening.